The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand.
See you live off the record with Chicago Line is brought to you by RF Bank and Trust and Royal Star Assurance.
Welcome, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Chicago Line, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. I trust and hope that you are doing well and had a great weekend. If you want to give us a call at all on the show, the numbers to do so are as follow. You can call us on 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316. 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 4224796 or you can WhatsApp me on 4393043. That's 4393043. We are live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969. That's the way my mother listens to the show, or you can catch us on BTC Flow Channel 612. That's BTC Flow Channel 612. So, as I tend typically to do, I try to get a sense of what's happening in the news. I tend to try and get my dailies, read my dailies, which I did. And okay, today, I know this is Guardian Radio, but today I observed a story in the Tribune written by Denise Maycock, who happens to be the Tribune's reporter in Grand Bahama. And she carried a story about a meeting that was held in Grand Bahama, the International Black Women's Public Policy Institute had a meeting, a board meeting, their 14th annual board of directors meeting, retreat actually, in Freeport, Grand Bahama. And they invited the chargé d'affaires for the United States Embassy to attend. In case you didn't know, when a embassy does not have a ambassador in place, then the head of the mission is called the chargé d'affaires, meaning the affairs, that meaning that's the person who's in charge of the affairs of the diplomatic mission there for the country. And so the most senior diplomatic official for the United States of America would be their chargé d'affaires. And in this case, that's Usher Pitts. And she spoke at this International Black Women's Public Policy Institute. As you know, I think International Women's Day is coming up. You would have heard the advertisements by the Nassau Guardian Urgent Recognition of SEEM and Celebration of SEEM, et cetera, and which I fully endorse. So there are lots of continuing global and national discussions around the issue of women's empowerment. I recall distinctly that this was a huge part of the political platform that Hubert Alexander Ingraham ran on when he sought to be prime minister prior to 1992, when he became a leader of the Free National Movement. Women empowerment was an issue that was prominent in his platform, no doubt, because he had women like Dame Janet Bostwick, who, of course, you know, was the first female elected to the House of Assembly, first woman elected to the House of Assembly in the Bahamas, and who was a champion for women's empowerment. And he had people like Dame Ivy Dumont and Teresa Moxie Ingram and Italia Johnson, Roma Italia Johnson, and so many others who I have no doubt would have been making an impact in the fore and the background about this issue. And it was then a very prominent issue. And over time, you know, well, of course, when he became prime minister, he made a lot of firsts for women in the Bahamas. We could talk about some of those later on, but he certainly gave women prominent roles in the cabinet, appointed women to head the judiciary, to head the public works department, and so forth and so forth. And so that was a prominent issue. It seemed, you know, it was, of course, culminated with the effort to provide for some gender equality. And people look at gender equality as in it was only about trying to get women's equality under the law and the Constitution. But that's not true. Men have unequal rights vis-a-vis some women under our current iteration of the Constitution too. And so the idea was to achieve equality across the board. That did not happen, as you know, because you were a big part of it. And but now the issue seemed to have simmered in the Bahamas, I would say. I didn't say around the world, but simmered in the Bahamas somewhat. But now it's getting momentum again, it seems. Anyways, the chargé d'affaires, that's why we say it, but Usher Pitt said something that caught my attention. And this is what she said. Nothing changes, this is what she said, end quote, I open quote, the fact is that nothing changes for women until we take political power, end quote. Okay. The fact is, she said, nothing changes for women until we take political power. And she said women shouldn't wait for a referendum or for marital rape laws, etc. So they should really set about supporting each other in order to achieve more gains. I want to have a very serious, substantive, and I hope impactful conversation today. I really do. Serious, substantive, and impactful conversation about this issue of women and power. Women and power. What is power? I want us to answer today. And the power that women want, according to Ms. Pitts, is political power. So what political power is that? What does that mean? And to do what with it? Okay, so what is power? What is that political power that she says women must have in order for things to change for women? And then to do what with that power? Like, what are the things that need to change for women? So I took the time to collect some statistics relative to women and men in the Bahamas. So starting with the population, because contrary to popular belief, the notion that there are substantially more women in the Bahamas than men, in fact, women in the world than men, is absolutely incorrect. It's incorrect. I mean, a substantial difference, that's incorrect. Difference, yes, but substantial, no. So for instance, the Bahamas, it is estimated, has a population of men of 192,917. That's about 49% of the population. On the other hand, it has about 203,997 women, which is about 51% of the population. So what's the ratio? 51 to 49. A 2 percentage point difference. A 6,000 person difference, right? Now, you begin to be careful. This says men, women, but that includes boys, girls too, right? So they don't, when they say men, women, they talk about all from zero living in the Bahamas to 100 and plus, all right? So you can't run around going, well, you know, there's 7,000 more women to suggest that there are 7,000 more adult women. That is not true. You don't know, right? But we know because we have a pyramid that could tell us what the differences are by age. And what happens is, as you look at the Bahamas population, when you look at the youngest ages, the percentages are almost equal. I mean, literally 50-50. And it doesn't really change to the degree you see here until you get up in the 60s. Why? Because the women in the Bahamas live longer than men on average. So let's look at some more. How many households are headed by women? The estimates by the Department of Statistics as of 2019, or BNSI now, is that 64% of our households are headed by men, and 36% are headed by women. I might note that the general statistics across the US and other countries is that most households headed by women are headed by women who have either never been married or have been divorced. Let's look at life expectancy. So on average, men live to 70 years old. Women live to 71 years. So on average, 77 years old on average, which means that women live essentially 7 more years than men. So if you want to talk about living power, the power to live longer, women got that power over men, if the numbers mean anything. In terms of net enrollment rate in primary school, men are enrolled to the tune of 94%, meaning 94% of that eligible population of men register for primary school. Women, 99%. In most countries in the world, this statistic is off in favor of men. Gross enrollment in primary school for men, about 91%. For women, 95%. So women are high category. Teachers in the primary schools, the people who get to nurture at the earliest stages of education in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, teachers at the primary school, women, 92%, men, 8%. Do you hear me? Education influence power. education influence power at the primary school, they don't even come close. Not even close. At the secondary level, it isn't as stark, but it's still stark. Women teachers at the secondary level, 76%. Men at the males, 24%. So talk about having the power, educational power to influence, to direct the nation at the earliest ages in life. That power belongs to women in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. The late Dr. Miles Monroe used to say, change a generation, change the next generation. That power, in terms of education, predominantly women in the Bahamas. Let's look at enrollment at the University of the Bahamas. I can only give you the University of Bahamas because I don't have statistics for all the universities the Bahamians attend around the world, but I suspect that this is quite representative. At the University of the Bahamas, 74% of the students are females, are women. 74%. 26% are males. So in terms of the power to educate oneself, to get ahead to the extent that gets you ahead, that belong to women. They are neither excluded from doing so, and they certainly are more eager to do so than their male counterparts, at least at the university of them. The reverse is the case at the Bahamas Technical and Vocational Institute. The reverse. More males register at the Bahamas Technical and Vocational Institute than females, even though the women enrollment rate at BI has been increasing. So let's look at political power now. We're looking at political power. That's the power that... Ms. Pitts alluded to. Now, here we have to acknowledge that the political power is not merely one single thing, because you can have elected political power and you can have non-elected political power, because political power, politics is the manipulation or use of power, essentially, right? That's really what it is. And so you can have power as an elected official, and you can have power as an unelected official, because a senator isn't elected but has power to do things legislatively. And you have, in the institution of the civil service, you have the ability to have enormous power, right? So let's look at the political power in the country. So let's look at the seats held in the House of Assembly. In the House of Assembly, there are 39 seats. Seven of them, unless my math is wrong, and I could be corrected, are held by women, and 32 are held by men. So women hold 18% of the seats in the House of Assembly, men 82%. So there is no question in terms of that political power, women are grossly outdone. All right? We can come back to this, though. In terms of the Senate from what I could gather, doing my stuff on the internet, I could be wrong, off, but it could only be off by one. There are 14 senators. Four of them are women, and 10 of them are men. So that's a 71% men to 29% women split. So again, in terms of the Senate, the power is unequal. Now, this is interesting. It's grossly interesting. This is very interesting because here, see, a man such as the prime minister, such a leader of the opposition, could make the argument that we don't have more members in the House of Assembly because we didn't, the population, the voters didn't vote for more women. Okay, they can make that argument. Mind you, they get to choose who the candidates are. So if they wanted a 50-50 split in terms of candidates, if they wanted a 60-40, whatever they wanted, they could do that at the time of the presentation of the candidates. But they don't. They don't do it. They have never done it. Never. Maybe they've increased the number of women candidates, some of them over time, but none of them are sought to do 50-50 or anything above that or anything near that. None have sought to do it. Right? So they can't blame the population for that. They get to appoint the senators. Senators are not elected in the Bahamas. Here again, though, in having the choice to select and appoint senators, the men who are heads of these parties still choose to have a decidedly more male Senate than female. So there is no question that whether you look to the population of voters or you look to the appointers of these things, there is huge skew in favor of men when it comes to appointment to political offices in the House, in political offices. At least those ones, Senate, no question but that. Okay, so that's the Senate. Let's look at the cabinet. Now this is a man, because we have Prime Minister Brave Davis. He's a man, and all of his predecessors, Minnis, Ingram, Christie, Salinden, all of them, some have appointed more women than others, but when it came to the appointment of cabinet ministers, they decidedly more male bent than female. Now, you could argue that they could only select the cabinet ministers out of the House of Assembly. So if you are on the Senate, limitedly in the Senate, so you can argue that if the House of Assembly and the Senate are predominantly male, well, the cabinet is going to follow. But even there is not a suggestion that, even given their constraints, that they maximally sought to make more equal or to make equal that distribution in the cabinet. Even though I think Mr. Ingram and Mr. Christie and now Mr. Davis, they all have come more close. So the cabinet, five of the members are women. That's 28%, and not including parliamentary secretaries. Five are women, 28%, and 13 are men, 72%. So when it comes to the raw political power, the political power that emanates from our elections and that kind of thing, there's no question that women, and have historically, so it has been historically the case, and it is today the case, women have been decidedly unequal in terms of their share of that. We're going to take a break, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back with this very interesting discussion we're going to have. We'll be back after this break. Take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
I marched the car. The lady run into me marched the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull out the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Friends have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
Get your Charifta tickets. The 50th Charifta Games is coming. April 7th to April 10th. Tickets are on sale now online at charifta50.com or at the Thomas A. Robinson National Stadium, Western Grand Entrance. For more details, email tickets at charifta50.com or call 605-4051.
What risks do inflation, soaring energy prices, and global tensions pose to the Caribbean? Join international experts, local professionals, and policymakers at the 9th annual RF Economic Outlook. Be part of the conversation on March 14th by reserving your seat today at rfbeo.com. RFEO 2023 is proudly sponsored by RF Bank and Trust, Alive Doctors Hospital, Fidelity Bank, J.S. Johnson, PwC, and The Tribune.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Send you know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 M on this beautiful Monday afternoon where we're talking about equality between women and men insofar in particular as political power is concerned. And we're talking about it from the point of view of just against the background, backdrop. I don't disagree with anything that the U.S. Chargé said. I'm not taking up anything and thing in particular that she said in terms of disagreement, but just using something she said as background for this discussion, because she said, in quote, "The fact is that nothing changes for women until they take political power." So let's continue looking at women and men in the Bahamas. So we already looked at all the political, in particular, political seats. So let's look at offices in the judiciary. Offices. So we have the legislative branch of government. We've gone through that. The Senate and the House of Assembly, we've gone through the executive branch. So we know that the legislative branch of government is significantly dominated by men. We know that the executive branch of government is significantly dominated by men. And now we're looking at the judicial branch of government. So according to the judiciary's website, there are about 42 judicial officers. 42 are women. That's 62%. This is the judiciary. This is the justice dispensing arm of the country. 26 of them are women, 62%. And 16, 38% are men. So when it comes to judicial officers, the dominance of the skew is resoundingly in favor of women. Now, the judicial officers, you have the Supreme Court. So let's look at the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court justices make up about 29. And of that 29, 12 are women, 41%. And 17 are men, 59%. So the split is a little more even though now in this instance, it favors men over women. If you look at the Court of Appeal, which has members, two of them are women, that's 33%, and four are men, that's 67%. Okay, so if you look at the past presidents of the Court of Appeal. This is also true for the Chief Justices. There have been 14, for instance, presidents of the Court of Appeal. The Court of Appeal has some great information on their stuff. I didn't find this. I'm not saying it doesn't exist, but I couldn't easily find the same thing for the Supreme Court. But the presidents of the Court of Appeal have been 14, and of those 14, two have been women, 14%, and the balance have been men, 86%, 12. Okay, so historically speaking, men have headed the judiciary, both on the Court of Appeal and the Supreme Court side of life. I suspect the magistracy is similar to these others too, but I don't have the numbers for them quite. Now, let's look at permanent secretaries. This is the head of the civil service in the Bahamas. There are, according to the information I could gather, some 27 permanent secretaries in the Bahamas. 16 of them, 60%, are women. And 11, 40%, are men. So when it comes to the civil service and the leadership of the civil service, Secretary of the Cabinet is a female. Most permanent secretaries, 60% of them are women. So forth and so forth. So, question. What is power? People want it. People talk about it. People talk about empowerment. You know, what is power exactly? What is it? What is this? And what is political power? What is political power? That a member of parliament in the Bahamas, a single member of parliament has power, political power. Anybody believe so? Talk to me. What is power? I mean, if the charge says the fact is that nothing changes for within until we take political power, what does that mean? What does political power mean? What does take mean? And what will change if women have this political power? What is political power? Is the question. Let me give you the numbers again because you all ain't typing. 3236232. That's 3236232. 3254316. 3254259. You can text us on 4224796, or you can WhatsApp me on 4393043. What is? What is it? This apparently, it seems, the suggestion by the charge is that if in possession of this power, then women can change things for women. According, that's the implication of her statement. So I'm asking, what is this political power at all? And you know, what would it change? What exactly for women would it change? On this good Monday, not one soul yet has answered. This text is great show as usual. Women live longer because use men up and down. Okay. All right. Since the young bar is 80% women, overall the Bahamas bar is now 60% female, but this does not address ownership and power in firms. Well, again, I'm asking, what is power? What is power? That's what I'm asking, right? What is power? What is power? What is political power? Who has political power in the Bahamas? Somebody tell me. Who has political power in the Bahamas? Please, somebody tell me. This highly coveted thing. Do men have political power, or do some men have political power, and do some women have? Barbados is now led by a female prime minister, but most of Barbados's members like are males. Do men have political power in Barbados, or do women have political power in Barbados? Somebody tell me. What is the case? When Margaret Thatcher was prime minister of United Kingdom, she too had predominantly men in her cabinet and in her in the parliament. Did women have political power, or did men have political power then? What is it? I'm trying to understand. That somebody says the people. What do you mean? The people? I mean, tell me what you mean by that. If somebody says the citizens, what does that mean? Oh, who has political power? You say the people. Okay. You really believe that? You really believe that the people have political power? Seriously believe that? It says, it is clear that the FNM went backwards on the minutes. For the first time in 40 years, there is not an FNM woman elected to parliament. Sad, terrible, shameful, sad, okay? It's Texas, it is clear. Okay, you said that, I read that before. It says, power, a politician's idea of a joke. No matter how badly they mess things up, they are always in power under the system. Tis a duopoly of politics, and I'm sorry, you have been unhelpful to our discussion with that. I don't know what to make of that. I'd be honest, I don't know. We're gonna take a break, ladies and gentlemen, and then when we come back, maybe we will delve into it. We'll be back after this break. You're listening to Z-Lime. I'm Shivago Lime.
Afraid to take a stand, everybody.
Girl, Junior just showed me Bulla Boy in his phone.
What you mean? He take picture of that good for nothing boy?
Shh, you don't want Bulla hair. You say that. You know she always say that's my good child.
So what he doing in Junior phone?
Oh, he there because the police looking for him. He on that wanted list.
Wanted persons in your phone now?
Yes, child. And when police want find anybody quick, after something happened, they can send picture direct to your phone. Go to Google Play or App Store and search for Crack Crime Bahamas, then pick install and it will go straight to your phone.
There is also a section on missing persons.
Yes, girl. Everybody needs to get this app so police can tell us right away when these people go missing. Just like an alert system.
Yes, it has numbers for Crime Stoppers Bahamas so you can call and nobody knows you. Call directly to Miami and give the information without giving your name or anything about you. I tried the other day, and when I hear Junior and his boys talking about where they hide those guns, I walk quick round the corner and call that number.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Fidelity.
With so much going on in the world today, only accepting cash at your business can be risky. Let Fidelity offer you and your customers safety, convenience, and the flexibility of a fixed or mobile terminal. Take it with you, on the move and on the go. Because business should never stop. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit us at any of our branches.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Storm, whatever weather, cold or warm, letting you know that you're not.
Lang, your host. We're so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. We're talking about political power against the backdrop of a comment made by the chargé d'affaires of the United States Embassy here in the Bahamas, where she said that nothing changes for women unless they take political power. Well, I asked the question, what is political power? And honestly, I've not gotten an answer yet. So good afternoon, sir. Yes, men have political power because of all of the prime minister was men. The perception in the PM get what he wants. If we get a woman PM today, I believe every issue women face in the country will be solved, will be addressed from the government's perspective. Mr. Lang, like I continue to say, I work in the U.S., Panama, and two Caribbean countries. Sir, I can truly say in the Bahamas, men leadership is preferred. Okay. So, since I'm not getting any offers of definition of this political power, Nicholas Stephanopoulos of New York University made this statement. This is the statement he made. There is a hole at the heart of equal protection law. He says, according to long established doctrine, one of the factors that determine whether a group is a suspect class is the group's political powerlessness. But neither courts, listen to Nicholas Stephanopoulos, neither courts nor scholars have reached any kind of agreement as to the meaning of powerlessness. Instead, they have advanced an array of conflicting concepts. Numerical size, so you have power if you have numbers. So you get more numbers in the House of Assembly. You want to ask them about it. Just ask them members of Parliament if that's true. If you have access to the franchise, access to voting, then you have power, we say. If you have financial resources, you say they have power. If you have descriptive representation, they say, then you have power, and so on and so on and so on. Nicholas goes on to say, my primary goal in this article then is to offer a definition of political powerlessness that makes theoretical sense. Okay, so now I want you all to listen to this definition of powerlessness, and then you ask yourself, Yeah, that's me. Yeah, that's them. Yeah, that's men. Yeah, that's women. Yeah, that's black Bahamians. Yeah, that's white Bahamians. Go on, when you hear this definition. The definition I propose is this. A group is relatively powerless if its aggregate policy preferences are less likely to be enacted than those of similarly sized and groups. Okay, let's read it again. A group is relatively powerless if its aggregate policy preferences are less likely to be enacted than those of similarly sized and classified groups. So this is, I think, a great point of departure for us. So let's ask ourselves, what are the aggregate policy preferences of women versus men in the Bahamas? Someone tell me what would women prefer to happen in the Bahamas by way of policy compared to men, please. We're not going to do anything else before the break, other than look at that question. You're a woman. What policy? See, government is about policy. We get caught up in a lot of stuff, but governing is about policy making. So what policies? You want an example of a policy? The Bahamas has a national investment policy. Here's what one of the things in the policy says. wholesale and retail trade is exclusively reserved for Bahamians. That's the policy. I'm not asking you if it's being carried out. I'm telling you what the policy is. Okay? That's the policy. Another policy in the Bahamas is murder is against the law unless carried out by the state in pursuance of a court-rendered judgment and sentencing. So that's the policy in the Bahamas, right? So what policies do, because the definition that Stephanopoulos advances is if it's aggregate policy preferences, what women prefer to be the case in the Bahamas today vis-a-vis what now is the case? Please somebody tell me. Political power, says this text, is the ability to impact overall change for whatever agenda you support. I agree with that 100%. But now I'm asking, I agree that 100%. Very good. That's similar to what he's saying, but he's saying something, he has a nuance attached to it that we're trying to get to. So then this nuance is, what would women prefer? This text says that a man can rape his wife. Uh-huh. There you go. There you go. Excellent. Excellent specific example. That is that true though? Is that true? Would women prefer men? Would women prefer the Bahamas to have a law that men, that husbands can rape their wives in the law? Someone else says here, gender equality. Okay, excellent. Is it true men would prefer gender equality in the Bahamas? Was that reflected in the constitutional referendum, referenda that we had? Was that reflected? But did women vote overwhelmingly in support of that than did men? And if that was so, how could that have lost the way it did? But those are two. So this text says, I'm not sure Bahamian women are clear on what policy or policies they need or prefer. Okay. See, let's get that. See, the Chargé said, nothing changes for women unless they take political power. So that assumes that there are some things that exists for women in the Bahamas that they want changed, but cannot, the political power does not exist for them to change it. That's the suggestion. And let me tell you the implications of that. The implications of that is this. A woman as powerful, as dynamic, as charismatic as Glenys Hannah Martin. A woman as charismatic, as dynamic and powerful as, say, Dame Ivy Dumont was or Janet Bostwick was when they were in the cabinet. Teresa Marcy Ingram was when they were in the cabinet. Cynthia Mother Pratt, when she was in the cabinet, that those women could not bring a matter to the cabinet of the Bahamas, because that's where the policies are made. Because why? Because they don't have numbers. Because they couldn't bring a matter to the cabinet of the Bahamas and get their colleagues to agree. Why? They're in the cabinet of the Bahamas. Why? The whole referendum came, but brought forward by the Parliament of the Bahamas, and they were full of men. Because the suggestion is that you don't get this thing moved because the Parliament, because the cabinet don't have more women in it. You really think that's the dynamic that was at play? And then when the matter goes to the House, brought by the cabinet, everybody else can fall in line. So if a woman is capable of getting the cabinet to move to do a matter, that's a fait accompli. The only thing left, if it's a referendum issue, is to get the people to vote. What are the aggregate policy? Aggregate means collective. Group the means, what does the group of women, not what as a woman, not a, what do a few women, it says what aggregate means, what do the large population of women, what are their policy preferences? Policy meaning government action in addressing an issue. What are their preferences? Preferences meaning what they would like to see above what others would like to see. And in this instance, it would be their male counterpart. So what is it? This text says, please, let's not talk about gender equally. When we had an opportunity to level the playing field, we voted against ourselves. We allowed ourselves to get distracted by other noises and did not vote in our own favor. Again, the question is aggregate policy preferences. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, this is so, oh man, this, you have no idea what this is. For me, this is something. This is something. We're going to take a break for news, ladies and gentlemen. And when we come back, well, we're going to keep looking at this issue. I suspect that we won't finish this up today, but we're going to keep looking at this. We'll be back after the news break.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Take a stand, everybody, everybody. Come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm. Let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shabago Lang, your host. We're so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259, 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796. That's 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 4393. That's 4393043. End quote. The fact is that nothing changes for women until we take political power. End quote, This is Miss Usha Pitts, Chargé d'Affaires of the United States Embassy in the Bahamas. That's the statement she makes. I do not disagree with her. I do not agree with her. I that's not my purpose today. I'm using that to help advance a discussion about this issue such that, this is my objective, such that when we walk away from this discussion, there might be some provocation to seek clarity, or there might be some greater clarity, and there might be even more a more definitive way to approach this issue than currently might be the case right now. Okay? So I was, obviously, if you don't have power, then you are powerless. That would be the implication. So if you don't have power, you're powerless. And so Stephanopoulos, I thought, provided us with a wonderful point of discussion of power, right? In which he indicates that when you look at powerlessness, you want to look at the aggregate preferences. So what's the aggregate preferences for women? Like, what is it that women would want? So let's look at what happens in the Bahamas today. Let's look at what the governments of the Bahamas were doing today. And let's ask ourselves, are these male preferred things, either in terms of these are the things that men say, men in the Bahamas say should be done, and these are things that are done for men. Predominantly. Okay. So when the government of the Bahamas builds a school, is that a male-driven thing? And is that something that's done for males? When the Bahamas, for men, is that what happened? When the Bahamas builds a clinic in a family island or a New Providence, is that built for predominantly for men because of men? When the Bahamas votes a certain way at the United Nations or one of them, is that done predominantly for men, driven by Bahamian men? Like, what is it that the Bahamas government does? What laws has the Bahamas government passed in the last 30, 40 years that are driven by men and for men? Which laws? Right? I'm trying to figure out. Point me to some government action that you will say, well, that's driven by men and that's for men. And how would that action change if it were driven by women for women? Is the suggestion that having had Sir Lyndon as prime minister, Ingram as prime minister, Mr. Christie as prime minister, Minnis as prime minister, Davis as prime minister, that having had that they go to cabinet predominantly thinking man-related things for men? Is that the thinking? Is that what happens? And those women who sit in the cabinet have no influence over that and nothing happens? What's the thinking here? When the members of parliament go to the House of Assembly and the senators, that those the Speaker of the House of Assembly and the President of the Senate, they are sitting there presiding over men and women dominated issues, men dominated issues by and for men. That's what's happening. Is that what's happening? And every time a lady like Glenys Anna Martin or Pia Glover or anyone of them get up and start speaking on those matters, that they are just simply speaking on men-driven issues for men. All of these laws that were passed in response to the international regulatory regulations that have blacklisted the Bahamas, that those were men, male issues driven by men. What are we doing, and what policies in the Bahamas would be changed if women were in place? Would we have a different economic policy? Would we have a different fiscal policy? Would we have a different cultural policy? Would we have a different educational policy? The head of the education ministry is Glenys Anna Martin. She's a woman. The previous to her was Dame Ivy Dumont, and so forth. So, like, not immediately previously, but I'm saying in other iterations, right? So somebody tell me, I mean, right now, like, it's real silent. It's really quiet. And I'm earnestly, listen, man, I think if we get past this discussion, now we could really talk about what the deity do. But we got to figure out, like, what would change in the Bahamas policy-wise if women had more political power? What would change if you had a woman prime minister? What policy would change if you had a woman-dominated cabinet? Now, that's an interesting. I would pay for that. I would pay to see that. I really, honestly, I'm telling you, because I do believe the dynamics of something would change, but what policy would change? Tell me, what if the cabinet was 60% or more women, even 50-50 women, what would change? What policy do you see would change? We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller, we're listening to you. Hi, caller, go ahead.
On Mr. Lang.
Hi, how are you?
I'm blessed.
Wow, that's I got a woman so on the line. I'm so happy. Hi, go ahead, ma'am.
Hello?
What happened? No. I had a woman on the line. What happened?
Hello?
Listen, producer. I'm going to listen to Anton. I'm going to get Anton and come back, but I want to get that woman's voice on the call first. So I don't know what happened, but let's get her back. So we'll take Anton's call after that. So Anton, just wait a minute. I mean, you could hang up and then call back, but I really want to get that woman's voice first. Hello, come on, producer. What's going on? I think I still hear a voice. All right, so what would change? Please call back, ma'am, if you can. She dropped. Yeah, but call back, ma'am, if you can. Is Anton still on?
Hello?
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead. Go right ahead. Hello? Okay, I tried. I'm sorry. We're going to try and get it back. But is Anton still on the line? Yeah, she's dropping. Is Anton? No? Okay. All right. This text says, those who want gender equality are the minority. The two failed polls answered that question. There is only a few loud voices trying to sound like they are the majority. Really? Well, I mean, just because you're a minority doesn't mean you shouldn't push for an issue. So that's not a problem. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hi. You're with me now, Shivago?
Yeah. Go right ahead. So I gave the chance, but her call kept dropping.
Okay. Good afternoon. Not getting too hot today, so just bear with me.
You what?
Good afternoon to yourself and good afternoon to the nation. Shivago, I'm listening to what you were explaining about the quote from the U.S. Charity Affairs. And she holds a very powerful office in our country, representing the American government. And I believe that the level of power that comes with her office alone would dictate, Shivago, more clarity on her statement, because her statement is very big. And I'm... you know, coming from such a powerful voice in the country, and with her being female on top of that, I think that more clarity needs to be brought, or more context needs to be brought to her statement, Shivago, because the thing that drives most in our country, law and order, is bound to the Constitution, right? And when you look at all of the minimal amount of constitutional referendums that were challenged over the last 30 years in our country, and you look at the fact on record that women are the ones who are the driving factors in terms of voters in our country, I believe that it's women who have been leading the cause on votes. I believe that currently, like previously in our country, we have a prime minister who is very conscious to the plight of women in our country. I also know for a fact, Shivago, can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm listening, but I'm going to need you to wrap it up for me.
I also know for a fact that our first lady, although not first lady according to our constitution, the prime minister's wife, she is one who also leads the charge on women's rights in our country. And as the office of the spouse of the prime minister, she is extremely active, especially on matters relating to women in our country. I know that the five members of parliament for the Progressive Liberal Party, they are very strong advocates for women in our country. And so, Shivago, Even if we had a female prime minister, that would not be enough alone. to drive any change. You would need to have a change.
Yeah, but change what though? But change what, Anton? What would change? What is it? What is it that a woman dominated anything would change?
To change the agenda is what I'm thinking. Because if it comes to a constitution, more than likely most persons participating in the constitution, as has been the case in the past, will be women in any event. And the last point I want to make on this, Shivago, is I see the need to say this. Look, we've seen what happens when we change the God from whites or from Brits to behemoths. We've seen what happens when we change the God from whites to blacks in the political realm in our country. I don't want for us to allow this matter of women empowerment to stoop to those kinds of levels. Well, if we do get that change one day in our parliament, the only thing that we're focusing on are matters of women's rights when we have an entire country that is not just populated by women to run and to govern for. And so any government that is at play or at the helm in our country should focus on the rights of all citizens in our country and not one group over the other, and creating an environment where equality is at play and is primary for everyone. Thank you for
that. Thank you, Anton. I appreciate it. Thanks a lot. Yeah. Miss Pitts did provide more commentary. For instance, she said, so it was really big, not a monumental victory because men still got elected 4-1 compared to women, but it was progress. And it showed that little by little, Bahamian women are starting to take the political power they deserve. And that word is very important because no one gives political power. You got to take it. Okay, so let's move on then, because I have not received any abundant, any numerous, or even more than one or two suggestions as to what would change. One thing was that maybe the marital rape issue gets put, isn't it on the agenda? Anyway, so let's assume we know that there are some policies that might become more prominent because women are now have political power. So let's assume that some issues will become more prominent. So Ms. Pitt says, so you have to take the power. Okay, so now let's talk about getting the power. So she says, and that word is important because nobody gives you anything, you have to take it. So let's look at our power, political power in this country. There is no greater political power concentrated in any one office in the office of prime minister in this country. Not in any one office. In the collective office of the parliament, if you have independently minded parliamentarians, yes, in the parliament. But in the prime minister, right? Because that's the policy setting mind right there. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you how the prime minister is so powerful when it comes to setting policy agenda. Your matter as a minister doesn't get on the cabinet agenda unless the prime minister put it there. Now, there's no reason he shouldn't put it there unless it isn't, he doesn't think it's thoughtful enough, or he didn't think it was complete enough or something like that. But it don't get there unless he puts it on the agenda. And it doesn't get considered unless he considers it on the agenda. He has this cabinet paper, that cabinet paper. If he doesn't say that, that could be on your that agenda for 10,000 years. So how do you get a prime minister in the Bahamas? The prime minister of the Bahamas is the leader of the party with the most members elected to the House of Assembly. So now you're going to take political power. So now you have to become the leader of the party as a woman. How are you going to take that? Well, the parties are governed by constitutions. And the constitutions require you to get elected at a duly constituted convention of the party, which means that you have to get the majority of delegates to vote for you as leader. How do you take that? How do you take that? You have to go and campaign among delegates all throughout the Bahamas and persuade and convince them. There's no taking other than your persuasiveness, your compulsion, your compellingness, your having made that kind of case that delegates said, this is my woman. I want that woman to be the leader of our party, just as Mia Motley did in Barbados, just as Patricia, in Jamaica. They've all, we've had women prime ministers in the Caribbean, right? They have had to go through their party processes. They didn't take anything. They had to offer themselves and aggressively offer themselves. So what does it mean to take? Like, how do you, listen, women, if you guys, and listen, I look forward. I look forward to a woman prime minister of the Bahamas. I do. I look forward to a cabinet of the Bahamas even dominated by women. I look forward to a parliament dominated by women. That doesn't scare me, doesn't bother me. I think it'd be wonderful for the Bahamas. But how is that going to happen? What would take in the context of how we select MPs, select leaders of our parties, What would take mean in the context of that? What would that mean? The only thing I could conceive of that taking meaning is women got to put themselves out there in big ways and say, listen, man, I won't be leader of this party. And do what you got to do. You know what the men have to do? Them buggers got to go fly up and down throughout the Bahamas, talking to delegates, knowing who has most influence over which delegates, knowing what factions in the parties control which factions, and trying to get them to come on their side, getting the population excited about the possibility that they could be prime minister of the Bahamas so that the delegates start talking about them. And that's what you have to do. That's the only taking you can do. Nothing else. Now, if strategically speaking, you recognize that in terms of numbers, you have probably as equal number of women as men, then if you can persuade women in the mean to vote for you, you already start off with a huge block. If you can get all them or most of them to support you, then if taking means doing that, yeah, I see that. I see that possibility. I see that possibility. But there's no other taking because there's a process that's involved with becoming a leader of a party, right? With becoming a, listen to me, I've seen women candidates offered in political parties in the early stages, and I've seen them crucified by women and therefore get no further. No further, because what happens typically is, if a leader prefers, wants a candidate for a seat, that's not a fait accompli. I always tell you all this story. When I was first asked by Hubert Ingram to run in an election in 1996 for the 1997 election, he sought to have me become the candidate in East Grand Bahama to replace Maurice Moore. That was what we talked about. Couldn't happen. He couldn't make it happen. And I therefore ended up running not in Grand Bahama, where I have grown up most of my life. I ended up running in Fort Charlotte, which I did not have any natural or historical attachment to in terms of legacy. I lived in it, right? I literally lived in it. I lived in it because I lived in Papaw Track, and that was a part of Fort Charlotte. But he couldn't make it happen. He could not. And when it didn't, he just told me, he said, be patient, just hold on, be patient. So there is no guarantee that being the leader makes it possible. And he was prime minister at the time, prime minister, leader of the party, and he couldn't make that happen. Right? Because them people in the local branches, they had their own views of what should happen. So that's why I'm saying there's no taking. There is, you've got to go out there and do a whole lot to persuade and to convince. So if we can't see it from that point of view, then now we have to, because it seems to me that in this instance, what Ms. Pitts was saying was, you know, you need more numbers in the House. You need more elected numbers. Well, you can't take that. I'm sorry. There's a woman determining that we are going to have more women. That doesn't do it automatically. If women get aggressive about their participation, it could hurt. Because, you know, people are freaky when it comes to, you know, in quote, shoving things down our throats. Ask Mr. Ingram and them about them kind of notions that people is his age. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
Hosts of the Caribbean. Join international experts, local professionals, and policymakers at the 9th annual RF Economic Outlook. Be part of the conversation on March 14th by reserving your seat today at rfbeo.com. RFEO 2023 is proudly sponsored by RF Bank and Trust, Alive Doctors Hospital, Fidelity Bank, J.S. Johnson, PwC, and The Tribune.
Get your Carifta tickets. The 58 Carifta Games is coming. April 7th to April 10th. Tickets are on sale now. Online at Carifta50.com or at the Thomas A. Robinson National Stadium, Western Grand Entrance. For more details, email tickets at Carifta50.com or call 605-4051.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shibago Lang, your host. I'm so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. If you want to call us, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text 6 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. This text says, women only want power to say they have power. Women in charge usually hire more men. They don't have any different policies than men. Wow, interesting. This text, This text says that they can pass on citizenship to their children. Okay, so you think that if women get more political power, that they will be able to cause them to be able to pass on their citizenship to their children, which means, because they could do that now, single women can do that, right? And single women can do that now if they have a child with a foreign man. A married Bahamian woman married to a foreign man can't do that, right? But So you believe that just because you have, say, a woman prime minister, a dominated cabinet by women, and a dominated parliament by women, that you go and referendum pass just so you could change the constitution, okay? This text says, women only want power. Oh, says, women sat down after the suffrage movement and resumed the era in thinking only men were to lead. They make up half of the two sexes yet can't galvanize to advance their policies. Even with those women you mentioned that had power, They can't name one thing they pushed for and won since those days. Let me see. One thing women pushed for since the suffrage days and got. Let me see if I can think of some policy. Let me see. Now, mind you, it might not be a woman, but I think you're talking about something with a special preference for women, not things, because I know of cabinet ministers who got things done, you know, but not in particular for women. You know, someone might argue there's a woman's desk at Ministry of Foreign Affairs. I don't know what they push for. Not collective women. I'll have to still think. Stack says, when the U.S. makes up its mind on what who a woman is, call us. Okay. Stack says, they would give their kids with non-behaving dad citizenship, I think. Okay, someone else said that. Stack says, we'll send women cabinet. There would be lots of prayer meetings, less cigarette smoking in the smoker's room, and much more action and accountability. Okay. All right. Interesting. Well, the cabinet don't have nothing to do with the smoker's room. The smoker's room is in the House of Assembly, right? And you don't smoke in the cabinet. This text says, what is the goal of progress? What are we progressing to? How will we know when we reach? Because to me, the destination of progress is destruction. Look around and ask yourself what all has improved, medicine and technology, yet diseases are taking over. Children now with adult diseases. So what is it? It's a good philosophical question for sure. Stack says, Mr. Lang, Anton was spot on. The changing of the guard just causes the issue, an issue to morph into another. Female advocates often reiterate that men and women can do things equally. So what difference would it make if a woman was in power? Okay. Interesting. This text says, the just joining, say the office of spouse established by Mrs. Minnis. That was women advocated for an office of spouse. They pushed for that, but that it did happen for sure. But listen, man, think about it, right? So this person texts and asks and makes the comment, the statement, that since the suffrage movement, women have pushed for, there's nothing that women have pushed for that has gotten done. Like, and I'm asking, what have they pushed for? I know one thing that some women pushed for. There were women pushing for this equality under the Constitution in terms of citizenship. That's boy. It didn't happen. Okay, so I started out this exercise asking, what is power? Power is the ability to affect outcomes. Power is ability. That's what power is. Power is ability to do what? Affect outcomes. So if something is going left, power can make it go right or stop it. Something is moving, power can stop it. If something is stopped, power can move it. Power can change things, right? So, and true power is changing it in an intentional way and direction. So women want that. Now, let me tell you all something that I have learned. That those who study relationships say that in relationships, I'm talking, they say, women want to know that they can influence their men. But they want to know. They want to know that that's power. Power influences power. They want to know that if we are deciding on financial matters, if we're deciding on family matters, if we're deciding on career matters and what have you, that I can have influence. And I've learned this is very important. Because the assumption is men already have the power. They already have the influence, right? But women want to know that they also have that power. So power is influence, the ability to change something to produce a certain outcome. Women, in the context we've been talking about today, want, according to Miss Pitts, that power is political power. And what is political power in the Bahamas? It's policy-making power. Let me tell you, based on my own observation and understanding of our system, you can have legislative power if you have numbers in the House of Assembly independent of the executive in the assembly. Let me say it again. Men in the Parliament of the Bahamas have no power. Don't get that out your head. There's no maleness to power in the House of Assembly. None whatsoever. Let's be clear now. Even though the majority of people in the House of Assembly are men, men don't have no power in the House of Assembly. The power in the House of Assembly derives from the allegiance of those people to the governance of the country through the political party with the majority of members in the House of Assembly. That's who has the power. The political party has the power. That collective caucusing has the power. And that power is more concentrated in the prime minister and his ministers because they direct the agenda of that house and that parliament. That's who has power. So this is not about male power. This is not about that. That is where the power is in the House of Assembly. The agenda of the House of Assembly, insofar as the bills and the resolutions that are concerned, that's set in the Cabinet of the Bahamas. It's not set by the House members. Right? And there aren't enough of them in there who act independently to make nothing happen in any one direction other than what the government of the Bahamas, the executive, wants. Now, if you had an abundance of independently minded folk in there, that'd be a different story. But how are you going to get a government? You got to get a government by a majority of members of a party being elected to the House of Assembly. The Constitution says of a party. So your women, even if more women came, they would come by virtue of the party as party candidates having been elected and therefore caucus with the party. And they wouldn't be able to set the agenda. The agenda would still be set by the cabinet. And the cabinet is appointed by the prime minister. So even if you got elected to the House of Assembly, that don't mean you can be a cabinet minister because you got to be appointed to the cabinet by the prime minister. If you want an agenda setting power in the Bahamas, you got to become prime minister. That don't have nothing to do with being male or female. That has to do with being able to convince delegates of a party that you should be the leader of the party. That's what that has to do with. That's not a male-female thing. Even though I will tell you, I have talked to far too many women and influential women who themselves say they prefer men to women. That's what they tell me. Now me, I'm blind in terms of those things. I'm blind. I do not. I look for the situation you're in. First, what is the situation of the country? I then look for the skills you need to successfully lead in that situation. And then I ask, who has those skills? If it's a woman, get her. If it's a man, get him. And I'm not going to vote for a woman just because it's a woman, and I'm not going to vote for a man just because it's a man. I'm going to vote for the talent capable of navigating the country through a situation. If that's black or white, male or female, Catholic or Seventh-day, that's the person I want. But that's not male and female. Right now, the Bahamas' political situation is not a gender-dominated scenario. It is not. It's not a consciously gender-dominated. The outcomes are certainly gender, but those genders have dominance in different parts of the political establishment, like the judiciary versus the civil service versus the cabinet versus the house. But ain't nobody running around, keep the women out. I've been involved with it for almost 30 years. That's not my observation. Keep them women out. We can take our last break. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shabara Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. Buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Want to reach your Grand Bahama customers? Then call Barefoot Marketing at 827-4578 or message them for ad rates via their Facebook page. Advertising opportunities now include classified ads too. Keep up with all the latest Grand Bahama news in the Nassau Guardian newspaper every Tuesday.
Much going on in the world today? Only accepting cash at your business can be risky. Let Fidelity offer you and your customers safety, convenience, and the flexibility of a fixed or mobile terminal. Take it with you, on the move and on the go, because business should never stop. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit us at any of our branches.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shabago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us for these remaining moments of the show. If you want to give us a call in these last moments, you can do so on 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796 or WhatsApp me on 439-3043. So as we get ready to wrap up, I just want to say, the spirit of which Ms. Pitts spoke, in that she is trying to say to women, you have to own your stuff and you have to go and pursue. You have to. Don't wait for nobody to do it for you. Pursue your stuff. I'm all with that. There's no question about it. There's no question that if women's participation in the political process is going to change, then the women have to push for that. If agenda items that women believe in strongly are not being given sufficient play, because that's what Stephanopoulos says. Stephanopoulos says, relative to men in size, which women are, there are as many women voters as women as male voters. So in terms of size, they have an inequality. And in terms of classification, yes, as voters, they have those in common. So if there are agenda items that women prefer that don't seem to enough play, then yes, women would could regard themselves as powerless in that regard. And then if they do the necessary to get elected in greater numbers and then become prime minister, because I'm telling you, in the way in the context of the Bahamas, that's what you got to do. You got to have that agenda setting power. So I the spirit of that, I understand. What I've tried to do today is show you the process that is necessary to strategically achieve those ends. You have to know the process. Let me give an example, as somebody rightly pointed out to me. Ali McIntosh has been a female leader of a political party in the Bahamas now for decades. Female leader of a political party. Ali McIntosh is not a light-headed person, not a lightweight. Ali McIntosh put out stuff that substantively addresses the issue she believes in. And she's been an advocate. The first person to criticize me publicly as a minister of youth, sports, and culture was Ali McIntosh, and she made front page of the sports section with it. So she's been out there advocating. She's a woman. And yet, as a woman pointed out to me, she has not been able to garner the kind of support you might think women would want to grant to a woman seeking to become Prime Minister of the Bahamas through the leadership of a political party. Why? Why? So somebody might say, oh, well, she wasn't the right person. Well, but if you're women and you want to push for women, then what you do is strengthen her hand to become that. Then we had the leader of the DNA, right? She was a woman. Oh goodness, my bed today. Very intelligent. Very intelligent lady, right? Arinthia Kamalafe, very intelligent. I had her on the show a couple of times. Well capable of speaking for herself. She sought to understand issues. She came across well. No, could she get women to say, you know what, this is our chance. Let's push the DNA because she's ahead of the party. No, couldn't happen. Mm-mm. She has had to back off from there, and they have new leadership now. New leadership is now males. So we have to understand more deeply the dynamics at play. And I suggest to you that the dynamics at play here is not a male versus female thing. It is not a woman versus man thing. That's not what's at play here. Somebody once asked me, do I believe a woman can be elected Prime Minister of the Bahamas? I believe in a hurry. In a hurry, a woman could. With the right set of the right set of those things that Bahamians look for in leadership, no question about it. A woman can get elected. Notice I said what Bahamians look for, because there are plenty of men in the Bahamas who can't get elected to leadership of a party. Cannot. Men could offer themselves all day long and they will not get elected leader of the party. Men. What you mean? Well, I thought it was a man thing. It's not. Bahamians want a certain set of skills, social and otherwise, that makes them go after you. Now let me tell you now. That's when they're voting for you. When they're voting against you, they're voting because you took them off. And they don't care if you're a man or a woman. You take them up, they vote against you. That's the bottom line. They vote against you. So the dynamic has to be understood. And women, I think, have to work through that dynamic, not from the perspective that I'm a woman and I want more power and so forth, but from the perspective of, let me understand the political landscape and how it works and what has to happen to navigate that landscape so that I become me, not a woman, but this woman becomes, and those women become preferences for the voting population of the country. That's what has to happen. Right? And in a male-dominated executive, in a male-dominated prime ministership, why are most women permanent secretaries? Why are most permanent secretaries women? How did that happen? Why does that come about? Clearly, they're not sitting around going, these women them can't do nothing. So I'm going to put them, make them permanent secretaries. No, they make them permanent secretaries. So I don't know when, well, I don't know what will change, when it will change. And I don't know what, because my discussion today has not lead me to clarity about what would change if things changed in favor of women political power in the country. Not policy-wise. I have not gotten that clarity from our discussion today. Let me say someone is asking, is the Chargé's statement similar to Blankenship's statement? And I'm not criticizing the Chargé. I'm raising questions arising from her statement and trying to bring some light to what our process is in relation to that. But I'm not going around saying, oh, she made a disparate statement. No, not even close. If she challenges Bahamian women to take power, well, Bahamian women got to understand what that means. What that mean? Take power how? In this context and in this process, how? That's all I'm saying. All right, ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I trust and hope you have a great evening. God bless you. We'll talk to you again next time. You've been listening to Z Live. Bye-bye. Everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever.